Go check out Andy's Personal Development Podcast, available today on your favorite podcast platform. Andy's Personal Development Podcast, sensitive and engaging, uplifting and inspiring to the point of fulfillment. Many episodes up for you to listen to already. Make sure you subscribe to be notified of future releases. Topics include success is born on both sides of the street, from mess to messenger, empowered women and the road to Maresco, achieving self-actualization through the ninja way, loving after narcissistic abuse, never quit on a bad day, discover your calling through self-mastery, and more. Andy's Personal Development Podcast is geared and designed to meet and fulfill the many instances of our search for answers to the mystery of our life, choices, circumstances, and outcome. We don't have to settle for second best or less. We can empower and inspire ourselves to rise one step higher every day and to realize our true self and potential to a brighter and better day. And in Andy's Personal Development Podcast, they have discovered so much that they must share it all with you, and you can gain the experience of a lifetime. That's Andy's Personal Development Podcast. Stream it today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Podbean, and more. You can also connect and follow on Instagram at AndyCharles8417, on Facebook at Andy.Charles.393, and on LinkedIn, search Andy A. Charles. That's Andy's Personal Development Podcast. Go stream, download, and subscribe today.
Sometimes in life we just suffer. Sometimes it's from being totally withdrawn. All so much stress that we are totally anxious. All so tired that we are totally burnt out. But our current position is not our final destination. No, indeed. There's hope. So whether it's your personal life, your career, your relationship, your business, or your job, we say there's reason to believe again. And we present from Andy's Personal Development, the Breakout Room. It's the place for health, happiness, and prosperity. Stay tuned for more.
Hi, it is Andy of Andy's Personal Development, and we are currently live in the Breakout Room. We have another fascinating and wonderful guest to share with you guys wherever you are in the world. Remember our watchwords: health, happiness, and prosperity. And we're going to talk about all three on this episode of the Breakout Room with our special guest today. Our episode is entitled From Hobby The Profitable Creative Business with Karina Gardner, and she is here with us in studio live on the Breakout Room. So let me tell you a little bit about our guest. Karina Gardner is the CEO of Design Suite and a fabric and craft designer. She's also a former university professor with a PhD from the University of Minnesota and creative director of a scrapbooking company called Cartabella Paper Company. There's so much more I can tell you about our guest, but she's the star of the show, and so we let her tell you so much more about herself. Let's welcome live Karina Gardner in the Breakout Room. Hi, Karina.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. And I know that you're in good spirits because I can see the power of that smile in your face, and I know all is right with you and you're raring to go. So, Karina, I usually start by asking my guests, what is the most important aspect of what you have accomplished so far in your life to you? If there's one thing that you can remember that resonates with you the most and stands out, and it says almost everything that you want the world to know about Karina Gardner, what would that be for you?
I think the biggest accomplishment I've had is, without even knowing it, I've modeled a creative career for my children, and they are all currently getting into creative careers and feel strongly about it. And the statements they say are 100% different than the statements I said when I was 16 or 20. They say things like, I think I can be a New York Best Time seller by the age of 24. They say crazy things that I never would have said at their age. And it shows me that somehow we did something right, that we modeled for them good, positive energy. We modeled for them that they could do anything if they believed in it and they worked hard for it. And that's something we're trying to model for our students and the people who are in our programs. But I think being able to see that in my own children shows me that we've done a lot.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you for sharing, Karina. Tell us, how did you find your true passion for the thing that you do now? Because you are defining yourself through it. How did that happen? Was that an aha moment, or was it something that gradually happened to you?
I think it gradually happened. I think it was a little bit of an accident, right? Like a happy accident. So it started over 20 years ago, probably longer than that. Yeah, much longer than that. But it happened when I finished my bachelor's degree. So I have a bachelor's degree from BYU in marketing and communications marketing. And I wanted to go into advertising. And at that moment, I would tell you I wasn't super creative. I would tell you that, you know, I just understood logistics. And one of the problems with what I was doing was I saw that those that were in control of like the pictures and the visuals, they had more control over the marketing than someone who was just telling other people what to do. And so I decided to go get a master's degree in design so that I could be a better advertiser. Well, I get to my master's degree and I absolutely love design. I mean, I love it. And so because I fell in love with it, I went ahead and also did a PhD. I ended up teaching at the University of Minnesota and totally leaving advertising behind me and just fully going into design. So then after I finished my PhD, I started a design business, which is now 16 years old. Had a lot of successes, many, many failures, more failures than successes in it, but found that I was making probably anywhere from 3 to 5 times as much as a regular designer. And I realized it's because I'm a little bit of a logistical thinker. And so even though I love creativity and I'm a designer and that's the main thing I like to do, I also understood business and how to make a business happen, and just from experience, right? And yeah. So 3 years ago, we started a program called Design Suite that took off like in a way I had no idea it would take off. Designers and artists were desperate to learn about becoming money-making designers and artists. They were tired of being poor. They were tired of not knowing how to get to the next level. And so this program is almost the culmination of what I personally have learned over the last 20-something years as a professor, as a creative director, as a design business owner, to help others like me become like me, make money as a designer.
Yeah. I like what you're saying there, Karina. You said to help others like you to become like you. And I love that because it shows the true sign of someone who is prepared to lead by serving people. How do you get those who are hobbyists, people who just do this for a pastime or fun thing, to understand the transition from being a hobby to something that can be a profitable business? How do you help them to see that? What are the methods that you use?
Yeah, so it's small steps, right? We all know that. Like big steps sometimes are a little too overwhelming for people. Right. So most of us have to take small daily or weekly steps or changes. And we do that in our program. We have a 6-month and a year long program, but almost everyone starts in our first 6 weeks and it's a weekly thing that they have to do in order to get them there. The other thing is that almost everybody actually just needs support. At the end of the day, when we start our own anything, if we don't have friends who are doing it like us, we usually don't win. We kind of fail. It's kind of, it's like this hard thing. Like we need people around us. So what we found is that by being in the program, people then said that had this wonderful community around them. And they were like, I'm doing this and I'm doing this. And so you could see what everybody else was doing. And suddenly you were like, you could see the people 3 months in front of you or 9 months in front of you. You'd be like, oh my gosh, that's where I'm going to be in 9 months. I had no idea I could be at that place. And so we have lots of modeling, not just from me, but from our coaches. Every one of our coaches own businesses, all the people in front of you. Like, so if you're starting the program, you see everybody in front of you and what they're doing, and that lights you up because you're like, oh my gosh, that's where I'm going to be very, very soon. And so by understanding what needs to happen, you really make some changes in your own behaviors because you see it's possible. There's a lot of hope when you can see what is really possible.
Yeah, wonderful. So I'm looking at your information and I'm seeing a part that says you help people to create the opportunity to build multi-million dollar businesses in less than 3 years.
We did that. Ah. We created a multi-million business in less than 3 years.
This is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
This is what I'm thinking. What specifically, Karina, do you think was responsible for that sweeping level of success? Because now you have something that has been coined that you can share with others as well to help them get equally that level of success.
Yeah, I think anyone can do this, what I've done, by the way. Like, I think anyone can create something that goes from zero to multi-million in less than 3 years. We have actually not even hit 3 years yet. So here's the deal. It is really all about finding the gap in the marketplace. So the gap in my marketplace was that designers and artists didn't know how to make money. And if we could teach them step by step how to make money, then they were going to get a lot of value. So you could charge a premium price and you could be more of a program. The other thing that we're missing, especially as we're seeing AI come in and all these other things, is personal one-on-one touch. We're missing that a lot. And people want that still. And so because instead of putting everything on automation and just letting things go, instead what we did was we have weekly meetings with our people. We have app videos. We have phone calls. So we have all these touch points to make sure everybody's on track. That's what gets people to move. If they know they have a meeting with their coach, if they know they have to come to Tuesday meeting and be prepared to see what we're working on, right? So our program is very much set up like a university classroom so that people feel responsible and accountable. You know, I think if you are out there starting a business right now, the best thing you can do is give as much personal touch as you can as possible for a program and make sure that the value you're giving is actually a niche in the marketplace, something that no one else is doing.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you for sharing, Karina. You spoke passionately about community. People coming together and support and friends being there, people doing the same thing and so on. How do you advise someone in the kind of community that is necessary for the success that you have achieved in terms of the resource personnel that they're going to look at, the specific people that they need to invite into that kind of environment, that kind of circle, or the persons that would make a positive contribution to the success that they're seeking? Who in specifics do they actually look for to bringing as part of their team or partners in the journey to that success?
Well, for us, we're a little bit different in that once you're in our program, your main access is to designers, right? To other designers and other design business owners. We do something called a guest expert series where you get access to hearing us talk to really big people in the industry. But in terms of like building community, it's truly, we have a private community and it's truly about, first of all, you being the head or the leader and making sure you know what you're talking about and that you're the expert in everything because they are looking to you for advice, right? Secondly, everybody that for us, our design coaches are the ones who moderate all of our meetings and run all our communities. And they're small, by the way, because we have a big community. So you can't get the same level of exposure with one-on-one at 200 or 300 people. Like, it's just impossible. So like, I see this all the time. People have thousands of people in their community and they think they can serve them in a really high way and they can't. It's impossible. Yeah. So we have groups of like, their meeting groups are less than 10. Our app groups, people who talk to each other, are only 30 to 40 people. So like, you're in a small community or group where you're getting to talk to and have great conversations with people.
Wow, wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing. So I want to go away to something now, and I'm going to bring it up on the screen, and I'm going to share with our audience and ask you to do some color commentary on this. And this picture, Karina, I thought it was an amazing picture that you use. I want you to tell us, how did you come up with this design for this?
Oh, I'm excited to see what you choose. Oh, the cover of my first book. That's right. My gosh. Probably one of the hardest things in the world is writing. First of all, you're a designer. You don't really want to write a book. You want to design, right? So the idea for the cover came before all of the writing for the book. But I just wanted something. So I'm well known for my floral designs in the fabric world. And yeah. So I was like, I've got to have flowers. Like, that's kind of on brand for what I do. And then furthermore, the people that I work with, I work with very specifically 45 to 65 year old women who are mm-hmm. artists and creatives and hobbyists. And I just felt like this, like a really fun, dark background color with this like big pop of peach on it with like this fluffy skirt. How would you not be? You'd be like, what is this? What is going on here? Do I need to read this book? You know, we always say don't judge a book by its cover, but the cover is the first place we start, right? And good right. marketing would tell you the cover is the thing that lets someone pick it up to begin with. So, right. yeah.
Mm. Design, profit, and prosper. Who came up with that? You did, or your editors such?
I do not have a main editor. So I actually was sitting in a mastermind group, a peer group, and there is a copywriter in the group. And we brainstormed for probably an hour to get that final name. So wow. there was like a group of us, of five of us, that came up with that final name.
Okay. Wow. Wonderful. A group effort. Okay, great. We appreciate that. So
a lot of you have heard about another video. They just released it a few weeks ago. But if you haven't seen this book, this is the book that I came out with in 2023 that so many of you have found to be very helpful in getting your design business started. Both of these are available on Amazon, so go check it out. Just put in Karina Gardner and you should find them there.
All right, so tell us about the other one.
So the second book came out this year, and it's because I went and lectured at a university, and one of the professors said, we would love for you to come out with a book, because they used my book. They uh-huh. said, would you come out with a book that talks about how to get consumers to actually buy? And I was like, oh, yes, I guess I could. And that is how I came out with Make Art That Sells. So I just realized that, and the title says everything, right? How yes. do you make art that actually sells, right? And so the yes. entire book is a single formula. So by the time every chapter is one more piece of the formula, by the time you get to the end of the book, you have a full formula that you yourself can plug in stuff about you, your art, and what you do to come up with a final, you know, product where you can figure out what you need to do in order to make art that really sells. And the book is meant to be fun. Every chapter not only gives you a piece of the formula, but it's an art history book. So every chapter is about a certain artist, just a little piece of it, so that you'll get it's fun and interesting. So we have like a chapter that features Monet and Lucian Bernhard and Picasso and Norman Rockwell and Yayo Kusama. And so like all these different artists, it's kind of fun. You get to hear about them and then you see how, you know, Kusama really exemplifies brand and how that piece fits into the formula and what you have to do in order to do that piece. And so, Both books are on Amazon, and they really are an inexpensive way. That was what I was trying to do, is create some kind of inexpensive way for people to see, like, there's hope. There's hope for you to, if you're creative, to make art, to design, to whatever you want to do, and you can make money doing it. Now, here's the interesting thing about the formula. My two daughters, neither of them, well, one of them's in animation. The other one, I have three kids, but one of them's in writing, creative writing. And we plugged in her stuff into the formula, and it works exactly the same way for any creative career. So if you're in music, if you're in authorship, like you're a writer, you can use the formula to also, it will work exactly in the same way for you.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's truly wonderful. Thank you for sharing, Karina. You spoke about, and you did so passionately about, a bunch of people around 65 years of age being part of your client base. Do you have different age levels involved? And if so, what's the kind of demographic with regards to the people that come on board with you, the people that you work with? And is it mostly female, or it's, you know, a combination of both male and female, once they have the desire, the passion, and they want to do something more than just a hobby?
Yeah, we're probably 99% female right now. And a lot of it has to do with just the demographic that we work in, which is like fabrics and crafting tends to be a really female-based group. Our average age woman is 50. So we do have anywhere from 45 to 65, but I would say most are in their early 50s. We have several women who are retired, and this is their encore career. They're just doing it in retirement because they enjoy it and they want to make a little extra money. We do have a scattering of younger people. So we always call it, we have one who started us with us when she's 19. She's 21 now. She's doing college at the same time as doing what she's doing with us. And I'm really excited about her because she, I mean, in the first 6 or 7 months, she was able to make a lot of money just by getting design agency jobs through us. So it's just interesting to see all the different paths everyone takes, but design is design is design. So it's like, if you can just learn all the skills that we're teaching you, and we're teaching you several different business methods, you will find a way to make money doing it.
Wow. Karina, you spoke about a passion for flowers and flower work and so on, and you also incorporate fabric. Is there any limitations to the stuff that you actually use in terms of how you design and put things together? Or is it just that the main thing or the main line is based on fabric, flowers, and anything surrounding those two components? You work strictly with that.
Well, so fabric's interesting because I'm under contract with Riley Blake. So whenever you work with a company, like when I was the creative director of a scrapbooking company, when people submitted their design work to me, we were looking for certain things. Like in April, we're always looking for baby stuff, right? In May, we're looking for travel stuff. So right. Same with Riley Blake in the fabric world. The only difference is once you kind of have a look, they want you to stick to it. And so 13 years ago or 14 years ago, when I did a first couple of lines for them, it was mostly floral lines. I have done some different things for them in the past, but for the most part at this point, they only want floral lines from me. And so that's just part of my brand at this point for them. Now, in the crafting world, it's completely different. I do a lot of things other than floral. I do a lot of 3D pieces and gingerbread houses and all that. But it just really depends on the contract you have. So lots of people want to get contracts, and they're very hard to get. And they don't make that much money. I'm just going to say that, because people hear me talk about a fabric contract, and they're like, oh, that's what I want. And I'm like, yeah, everybody wants it. Doesn't make that much money. And it seems cooler than it actually is. The most of the money I've made is actually from online digital sales. And so that's what we teach in our program, because we want people to make money, not to rub their egos. We don't really care about that. We care about making money as designers. And so, So I don't even remember what the original question was. Oh, the fabric, like the flowers versus, It's literally because I'm kind of stuck in that as my brand.
Yeah. Okay. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing. And thank you for clearing up the difference between just wanting a big name and actually working towards making money. You seem to have so much experience with dealing with the industry in that way. We have 2 likes, but we'd appreciate if folks could just send their comments or their questions to Karina. She'd be very happy to respond, because this is such an intriguing episode. And I want to remind you, it's entitled From Hobby to Profitable Creative Business with Karina Gardner, our expert who's tried and tested the process that she's now teaching so many who may have had a hobby but now desire to earn some income out of it. Are there any other publications in the making for you, Karina, in the future?
I think we actually have a lot of books in the works. That's the funny thing I said after I finished the second book. I said, guys, I need to take a break from writing books for just a moment. And they said, yeah, we'll see how that goes. But we have, I can't even tell you the things we're working on right now, but most big, good things actually take a long time to put in place. So like we think in about 2, maybe 3 years, we will be able to announce the thing that we're working on now, but it is going to require a lot of books. So.
Okay. Wonderful. Okay, great. So I just have a comment here from one of my fellow workers in the podcast and speaking industry, Anthony Maruri. Thank you, Andy and Karina. So I suppose he's thanking us for the valuable content that we are currently sharing on the episode. In terms of your future projections and what you're seeking to accomplish, you already did a multi-million dollar business in under 3 years. Are there any other projects in the working that you're looking to accomplish? What is your vision like for you in terms of the future going forward?
Unfortunately, that's that secret thing I can't tell you guys about.
Yeah,
I know. We're kind of locked down at the moment. The reason is because what we're doing requires a lot of standardization for what we're doing. But just know that everyone thinks that there's a limit to what you do. And I think there are always about 10 more steps you can take. I don't think bigger is the word you're looking for. But for me, the thing I started thinking about was it stopped being about money. And it started being more about how do I make sure that if I were to walk away or I wasn't here, that my children could get the kind of education that we're currently providing in an online space. And so that becomes really difficult because you start thinking about legacy and how to build a company that lasts longer than you. How do we continue to teach in a way that's smart and effective so that, you know, students are really getting that next level? And that has been the thing weighing on my mind. I am now concerned about legacy. How do we make sure this information doesn't go away if I go away, right? And so that's what we're really working on right now. And you guys are going to see all the cool stuff we're coming out with. It's just going to take a few years before we can really showcase. I say that there is a slight chance that we'll be able to announce a soft launch of what we're doing maybe in the fall, but yeah, it's just so tricky when you're working with government or standardization to make sure that you're doing the right things.
Now, you said that you have a kind of university type environment. Mm-hmm. Even though it's an online setting, you have people in groups that are less than 10 and so on. How much more effective is your system as compared to the traditional university kind of settings in terms of the effectiveness that it creates for people to actually learn, and so they get something in return for their time and whatever resources they may invest?
Yeah, this is one of the issues we're seeing in the current university system. Now, I am a product of the university system, right? So I have a doctorate. I've been to a lot of schooling. But one of the number one things we tell our designers when we're teaching them is that we're here to teach you how to become an amazing designer, right? That is our goal. We're going to give you a great education so you're becoming a great designer. We never say we're going to teach you how to work for yourself. We're never going to teach you how to make money as a designer, like other than you going and getting a job in-house somewhere because you're a good designer. And so one of the things that we're kind of, I'd like to think that we are, is that vocational mix, right? You know, if you go to plumbing school, you learn to become a plumber, right? We don't really have anything like that for white collar jobs where you like vocationally could learn how to do something and then you go and you make money doing that thing. And that is really kind of the place we sit. It's this very like, we're white collar design program and we're going to teach you how to go make money and create a business, but you would never do that in a traditional university setting, right? But there's not really anything else out there that lets you to do it the way we do it. And so because of that, I feel like we really, that's that little tiny need that is really exciting about what we're doing and can be taught on so many levels, right? Because, you know, we teach in particular like online spaces and online platforms, but there's still freelance work that you can do. There's getting a job, how to actually succeed in a job in the design world, right? We have new and emerging markets. AI is one of them. And so we have to really fulfill all of these things that are happening now, like brand spanking new. And we have to be on top of it in a way that maybe a university system might not be, because we're like so busy trying to stay at the current trends.
Yeah, wonderful. Karina, what do you think is that particular thing, that virtuous thing, call it a glue, a connection, or whatever it is, that has made your community so strong? And it has to be strong, because you're speaking about legacy and all that stuff. Is there one thing in specific that you can point out that you know was responsible for keeping the community together and bonded?
I think it, well, there's really two things. I think it's, number one is you just have to care about people. I mean, I started this program saying I'm only, like, if I can only change one person's life, it will be worth it. That's right. That was my, I think people sometimes go and they're like, I'm going to go in, I'm going to make all this money, I'm going to help thousands of people. And I was like, you know what? I don't need to do that. If I can help one person actually do the thing that I'm teaching, this is worth it. Okay. The second thing is you have to have an expectation for your members. So our expectation for our members is you give as much as you get. And so if you're getting a lot, you should also be giving to other members. So there's a lot of peer-to-peer interaction where people take care of each other.
Yeah. Sounds like something to work with. Maybe I should join and be part of that community as well. Okay, great. So I'm just going to share another video here with us.
Did you Karina, see that? Lisa Collins, Terry Johnson, Shelly Ontis, Stephanie Young, Sherry Pack, just to name a few, are coming to speak at our craft and design event. If you have not signed up, it is completely free. Find the details below. You are going to love it.
This is something that you do annually, and I realize how important it is for you, the names that you mentioned there. And what is the main focus of this forum that, that you guys put together?
So we actually do 4 summits a year, so quarterly. And yeah, we just barely started this last November. So, and it has been phenomenal. We love it so much. So what we do is we look for speakers who have not just social media followings, although that's very helpful for them and for us, but we're really looking for people who are, who know something interesting and can share it in our community. So for example, in February, we did an illustration and art conference. In that conference, actually, most people didn't have a big social media following. We weren't looking for that. We were looking for people who were great artists and could were willing to share how they made great art. And so we had all these tutorials on watercolor and oil painting and watercoloring to turn things into earrings and just really specific things that were really interesting. This coming up conference, it's actually a lot of big names just because I'm in the craft industry because I was a creative director. And all of these people are brilliant at what they do. I mean, brilliant. And so they come and they share for free. It's insane. For free, they do a video and they share like their specialty, a craft project. They'll also share like business advice. It's just a really fun event that we put on for free. We do have an all access option where people can get lifetime access that does cost money because we have to host it and hold on to it and all of that stuff. But like the actual event is live streamed for free. And I think it's really cool to give that kind of information out to the wider community because there are lots of people who can't afford, which we understand can't afford very much. And we also want, especially those who are just interested, to get a taste of what it's like to be in this industry, because there are people who are just checking things out and they want to see what it's like. And so yeah. if they can really dig in and see, wait, this might be a place I want to be part of, then maybe they will spend a little money to get more education, and not necessarily just from us, but from anyone. We will promote other things that we see out there that we think will help people, especially if we think they're not a good fit for our program. We don't say yes to everybody. You know, sometimes someone will come to us and say, I want to do this. And we're like, oh, we are not the experts at that. You're going to want to go over here. We don't even have affiliate links for it. We're just like, you should go over here because they would be a really good fit for you. And they're like, oh, okay, thank you. You know? So, I think the main thing always is to figure out who your people are, the right people are. And then if you can put on things for free for people, you know, I do a free podcast as well, just like you do this right here, where you give information for free. It's always of value.
Okay. Yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful. Sounds good. Sounds really good. As you're speaking there, I'm thinking about competition and relevance, two words that we sometimes confuse. You seem to be very relevant to a group of people and a community that you are serving currently at the moment. But in terms of competition, Karina, are there any other persons out there in the industry that are doing something that is similar to you, and you are in a space where somehow they may be getting more traction or less traction? What is it like in terms of the competitors in the industry that you're involved in? What is the scenario with the market like for you?
You know, when I started this program, I didn't know what was going to happen, right? And so what I did was I just created something from scratch, like that I would put together if I were a professor, right, at a university. So I put it together, and I didn't find out until like probably it was like 4 or 5 months in who my competitors even were. That's not the right way to do that, by the way. Don't do it that way. Because you don't even know. So I didn't realize that I was the premium product. Okay. And so, because I wanted to give a level that really hasn't been touched on in my particular industry. So there's only about, I would say, two other people I can think of that have much bigger followings than me, but they provide a product that's only about 1/8 of the price of my product. So then based on that, so you get what you pay for, right? So like if you have a tiny 8-week product versus a 1-year product, and your 8-week product, you never speak to the CEO or the person who's in charge, or you never see them like talk to you, right? That's a really different program than a program where like mine, where like we use video chatting and stuff, where you'll see me be like, oh my God, happy birthday, Michelle. I see that it's your birthday today, right? Like there's a different kind of connection level for what we do in our program versus our competitors. So we don't even really consider them competitors. In fact, if anything, we actually get a lot of people in our program from their programs, because what we see is that a lot of people need that lower, like that initial first learning about design. They need that initial level. And then when they're really ready, they're going to come in and be like, okay, I don't know how to run a business. And we're like, okay, that's where we can help you. We can help you go to the next area. So the other thing is we teach an overarching design program, much like a university would. Most programs out there or courses that we see are very specific. So like a surface pattern design course, or a physical products course, or a calendar course, or a sticker course, right? So there are all these like little courses out there. And actually there's a couple that I'm good friends with and that we actually do collaborative things with, right? Because I don't get really caught up in that competition piece. I get a little grumpy when they're not teaching things that I'm like, please teach this, please teach this. But like, other than that, for the most part, like my industry is such that there's not really anyone who's kind of touching what we currently do. Part of that is because And I think this happens in any industry. When you teach for a long time, you don't have time to practice. And so I own still a design business. And so I can kind of see what's going on in the marketplaces. So I'm still teaching that, right? But I will say it gets harder and harder to practice at the same time as teaching. And so a lot of these people haven't actually practiced for 6, 7, 8 years, sometimes 10 years. They've just been teaching. So they've lost a little bit of touch with the business entities and what's going on in the marketplace. And that's just something that happens. It's no one's fault. It's just a matter of how difficult it is to teach and to actually practice at the same time.
Wow, interesting. Thank you for sharing, Karina. And we're going to have a quick break. We've been hearing from Karina Gardner. Her episode is entitled From Hobby to Profitable Creative Business. An amazing episode of her story, her life, her achievements, and her community that she's been doing. We will get together in a moment as we do this little commercial break, and Karina will share a little bit more of herself and how you can make contact with her in addition to get the two publications that are out. Stand by for this ad break. Okay, great. So that's a wonderful platform for our friend Anthony Maruri and myself. We are the host and co-host of that amazing public speaking forum. So thank you so much for the collaboration. So, Karina, if there's anything in the world that you think we should not be dealing with, and this is aside from all the stuff you've been doing in your wonderful industry, but you seem to have a heart for people, and I like that. You show some passion for people. And your approach is a bit holistic in terms of not just the skill, but the business aspect, the management aspect. If there's one thing you think we should not have to deal with in the world, I usually describe it as a pet peeve. What would it be for you, Karina? Got you thinking there.
Oh, gosh, that's really hard. I don't say I have a lot of pet peeves, but the ones that like really get to me is I wish there was a way for us to have conflict without the personal feelings related to conflict. And what I mean by this is that, you know, on any subject, political, religious, I wish that we could discuss it and people can have different opinions about it. And it doesn't have to be angering. It doesn't have to feel like it's so personal that we're like upset by it. But like yesterday there was something that came up that I was like, oh, that makes me feel so angry inside. And I was like, man, I don't want to feel conflict over this. This gets in the way of my headspace, you know? So I don't know. Is that a real thing? But it's something I feel.
Yeah. Anything that bugs you in that manner is a real thing. It may not be real for other persons, but if there's something that you are, you know, concerned about or disturbed about, yeah, it's a real thing to you. And you have the right to address it, because at the end of the day, we need to understand, like you rightly said, how we can differ in opinions, but yet at the same time, just appreciate each other for who we are.
Yeah.
And for me, that's simple, but for some other persons, that may be a challenge. So I have one of our listeners, supporters, viewers, Loretta Packett. Good afternoon, guys. I'm in. We welcome you. Karina welcomes you. So wonderful. So Karina, if you had a megaphone, I know you have discussed your pet peeve or the thing that you're quite passionate about. And I guess that is something that is a bit universal, because I'm sure some of the leaders of the world are trying to figure out the same thing. How could we disagree and yet at the same time shake hands and wish each other good and go our separate ways and come back again and deal with the same thing? I don't know. We just got to keep trying. But let's imagine you have a megaphone, and from your personal experience, you can say something to the world with regards to people and how they can develop themselves and how they can become independently sufficient, whether it's in fabric or any other thing, but they can pursue their dreams and accomplish goals in life. What would you say to them?
Don't lose hope. I just think we're in this weird state of the world where people lose hope so quickly. I think there is so much life to be lived and you should be living it now. I don't care what age you are, whether you're very young or you're very old. If you always had a dream to do X, Y, and Z, write a book, create a painting, take a watercolor class, write music, compose something, you should be going after it right now. And it might be what in what I call the crevices of your life. I built my design career in the crevices of my life. I had two very small children when I started my business. I have three now. My husband was an attorney. He worked a lot. I did too. And it was just really hard to do things. But I never lost hope that I wouldn't one day figure it out and make enough money for my family or figure out how to create the next cool thing or build legacy. And I'm still figuring that out. I still have a lot of hope for that. And believe me when I say that the more successful you are, the more failure you will feel, because there is an equal parts number of times that I fail to every time I win. So people sometimes hear a multimillionaire or they hear like you've built this amazing company. And I'm here to tell you that, yes, I did it fast, but I did it also with a lot of failure involved. We messed up a lot of things. We also were successful at a lot of things. And you hear me talking about a lot of the successes. It doesn't mean that there wasn't an awful lot of failure that went along with that.
Yeah. Thank you. That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing. So there you have it, folks. Our guest, Karina Gardner. This episode entitled From Hobby to Profitable Creative Business with Karina Gardner. I'm going to give her an opportunity now as we put it up on the screen to tell you how you can make contact with her and how you can get her books. Stand by. Karina, here you go.
Yeah. Well, I have something fun for you guys for free. So here's the deal. My new book, Make Art That Sells. Well, both of my books are on Amazon. So you can go grab them on Amazon. Just put in Karina Gardner. You can go grab it. But my Make Art That Sells book, we did this masterclass for it that I'm going to give you for free. So all you have to do is go to makeartbook.com. That's makeartbook.com. There's a link there to buy the book. You don't have to buy the book. There's a secondary link there for the masterclass, and it will show you that it costs money. Do not pay for it. Put in the code MAKEART. It will give it to you for free. It's a really fun book. You'll really enjoy it. It's like, I mean, if you're in any kind of creative field, you can see how the formula will work for you. And we did that so that lots of people could have access to understanding like what they really need to do to make art that sells. So it's a fun class. It's about 6 lessons long, and you'll get a feel for how I like to teach and lecture. So there's that. And if you just want to go see what I'm up to, KarinaGardner.com, that first link there is like the redirect. It'll take you to the Shopify store, which there's not a lot to buy on there. It's just, you can see all the stuff that we're doing and the good time that we're having. If you know someone, and this is my ask for anyone listening, if you know someone who is an artist, who is a designer, and they are looking to figure out a way to make money and they want to understand business, go check out a design bootcamp. That's where people get into our program. We don't allow people just randomly to find out about our program. You have to come to a design bootcamp. They're only $27. I promise you, you will get your money's worth for $27. I lecture. It's 5 days of lecture. So it's like 5 hours of lecture. The workshops that you can just watch on demand. It's about, you get 10 days to watch it all. There's some Illustrator classes I put in there for free for you to do along with it. And I really teach. I mean, I've had people say they just took boot camp and then the next day they made a sale. They were like, I just did what Karina said in the boot camp and I went and made a sale. And I was like, that's the way it's supposed to work, right? But the reason we make everyone go to a design boot camp before they can come into Design Suite is they have to understand process and they have to understand what it really takes. We are very, very honest and candid about what business takes. And it's not for everyone. Not everyone wants to put in the time, the effort, and the work. And so we like to really tell you how to do it, what you can do, how to get started. It's very fun and exciting, and it's only $27. So, and that's at designsuitecourses.com/designbootcamp.
Wow. So I'm thinking what probably is going to stand out is makeart.com, where you can go and use the coupon code makeart.don'tpay and get those 6 courses free so you can have a good time trying to figure out how you can spend more time in your hobby and at the same time do something productive. Wonderful. We thank you, Karina Gardner, for being an amazing guest on The Breakout Room, the place for health, happiness, and prosperity. The episode was entitled From Hobby to Profitable Creative Business with Karina Gardner. Until next time, this is Andy of Andy's Personal Development together with my guest, Karina Gardner, saying so long, Godspeed, God bless, Shalom, Namaste. Bye for now, people. Take care. And remember, your story is the most important one. It matters to you because it's all that you got. Place value in it and let the rest of the world know that you are here for a purpose. Until next time, bye for now.